Thank you, Sam, and what a wonderful day it is to gather here together to worship and honor our God. And those of you that have come to be with us this morning, we say thank you for being here, and it's always great to have guests among us. We have a number of our own folks who are out today for the holiday, and I guess this is kind of the official weekend of summer vacation. School will be getting out, and others will be going on vacation. But anyway, we're glad you're here. You know, the 30th of the month of May is always a special time, Memorial Day. You know, we all like to regress back in our mind and think of those who have gone before. Many who have blazed the trail for us spiritually, and many, no doubt, who have given their lives for the preservation of the freedom of this great country and, no doubt, freedom around the world. And how grateful we are and should be to so many. You know, sometimes we all have a problem with our memory. I don't know about you. Anybody in here have a problem with your memory? We all do, I think. I heard about a situation that happened one time while on a car trip, an old couple who had stopped by a roadside restaurant for lunch. And the older woman, unfortunately, had left her glasses on the table at the restaurant, but didn't miss them until they were way on down the highway, probably 50 miles away. By then, they had to travel quite a distance before they could find a place to turn around. Well, the old man, you can imagine, fussed and he complained all the way back to the restaurant. And when they finally arrived, as the old woman got out of the car to retrieve her glasses, the old man said, "Well, while you're in there, you might as well get my hat also." Well, none of us like to admit that we have a problem with our memory, but we do. Sometimes we have what we call spiritual amnesia. There are some things in the Word of God that we have a tendency to forget, and generally it's those things that really ought to be applicable to our lives. And when we stop and think about our nation and the history of this great United States of America, we should never, ever experience national or patriotic amnesia, because we have so much to be thankful for in this great country. We do. I want to talk to you this morning about Memorial Day. Memorial Day, what is it? Well, Memorial Day is an official holiday in most states of the United States. It was observed on May 30th until 1971, when federal employees, and the date was changed to the last Monday in May, with the exception of Louisiana. All states observing Memorial Day adopted the change, and it is also known by a lot of people, and no doubt veterans who have served their country honorably, as Decoration Day. It is a time for us to decorate in our minds those who have gone before, those who have given their lives in service to the country. May we never, ever forget. I hope that we will not. We owe a deep debt of gratitude to so many people. There are so many of our servicemen today who are fighting to save American freedom. I don't know how much you appreciate your freedom, but you ought to appreciate it. I should appreciate my freedom. I should. It did not come without price. And how appropriate for us to remember those who died defending our country. For over a century, America has been observing Memorial Day. How appropriate and how thankful we ought to be. You see, the book of Proverbs, chapter 10 and verse 7 says, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing," and it is. We ought to always have it uppermost in our mind. We will never, ever forget those who have died. So many. We stop to think about those who have served in all the wars in which this country has been involved in through the years, it is amazing how many of our young men and women who have died. Their children often go to their graves to place a flag. Fathers, mothers that they will never ever see again, only in their mind's eye. The tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington, Virginia. On that tomb is inscribed these words, known only to God. We must live to honor their service so that their death was not in vain. Have you ever stopped to think that because men and women have died for this country, you and I have the Word of God today and we have the opportunity to hear it preached freely? I don't know if you stop and think about what a blessing that is to be able to hold the Word of God in your hand. And you do it today because God has preserved this great country because of the valor and the integrity and the honor and the courage of young men and women who have gone off to war. It is not so in many countries. You and I, we have the right to be at peace in our own home, without fear of reprisal. We have the right to pursue peace and prosperity and happiness that is guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States of America. And thank God for those who died to make us free. Amen. Now, there are three things that I want to mention to you this morning that I think are really of utmost importance to you and to me. What should we be doing on Memorial Day? What is this all about? We say, well, it's a national holiday, and that it is. But is it like just any other holiday? No, it should mean much, much more to us than just a day of vacation or just a day away from the job. There are three things that we should do. First of all, we ought to mourn the loss of life. You know, every afternoon on the evening news, we hear that someone died in Afghanistan, or someone died in Iraq. And our tears ought to flow for those who have died. Sometimes people wonder, is it right for a nation to shed tears over their deceased? Is it right for you to cry when you lose a loved one? If it is, then certainly it was wrong for Jesus to do so. But he did, because when he went to Bethany in the book of John 11 and verse 35, the Bible said that Jesus wept. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and following, the Bible said that we're not to sorrow as those who have no hope. It's not wrong to cry. It certainly is not wrong for us to shed tears over our nation's war dead, and perhaps maybe it would be wrong if we did not. When we stop and think about all the sacrifices that they have made for you and for me, they have been many. We mourn the death of our brave comrades because of their unselfishness and how unselfish they have been. When I see a coffin draped with an American flag, it reminds me of the love that a man or a woman had for their country. But not only today do we gather to mourn our war dead, together today we mourn the death of our Savior on the cross. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 29. We just observed the Lord's Supper, and that really is what that was all about. God giving His Son. For Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." And Romans 5, verse 8 and 9, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." Do you realize that Jesus died to save you? Sometimes I think it's good for us to put it in the first person instead of the third person. Jesus died to save me. For in Matthew 18, verse 12 through 14, the Bible speaks of the great love of God. For how think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them go astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if it be so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more over that one sheep than 99 which went not astray. And even so it is, if it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, and one of these little ones should perish. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He's not willing that any should be lost, but that all should come to repentance. Mourn the loss, yes, of those who have died, but we should also remember their lives, the way they lived. Have you ever thought about the courage it takes to fight in a war? Have you ever really stopped to think about the consequences of what happens when you go off to war? Have you ever really stopped to think about it? These men and women lived their lives because they believed in something that was much greater than themselves. They lived courageously. They served loyally. And we should never, ever again forget those who fought for us. Have you ever walked through a cemetery to see headstones? I've been in Arlington National Cemetery. I have been in many, many cemeteries. And these headstones up here tell us something about those who are buried there. If you really observe the epitaphs that you see on tombstones and gravestones, it will tell you a lot about those people. Some read, "Gone too soon, beloved sons, safe in the arms of Jesus, faithful unto death, gone but not forgotten, just a simple at rest or asleep in Jesus." There was no tombstone erected at the grave of our Savior Jesus Christ. But we should remember His life as well. For in Acts chapter 10, the Bible says of Jesus something that is not said about anyone else in all of the Bible, that He went about doing good. That epitaph of Jesus left is found on every communion table. Up here it reads, "Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. But when we observe the Lord's Supper, what are we to remember? Just what do we remember about Jesus? We should remember, first of all and foremost, that you and I are a part of the body of Jesus. We are a part of the living church of Almighty God. And what a great blessing it is. We talk about a blessing to be an American. And to be an American, and that is great. And because of those who have made it so and made it possible. But how thankful today we ought to be for our Savior and for His great love. John 3 and verse 16. And for His tremendous sacrifice, Matthew 26, that He shed His blood that you and I might be saved eternally. We should remember the horrible suffering that our Savior encountered, Matthew 27, and His worthy example of which Peter speaks in 1 Peter 2:21, when he says that He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Mourn the loss of those who died, but secondly, remember their life. But then thirdly, be thankful for their sacrifices. Thomas William Parsons made this statement, "On thy grave the rain shall fall from the eyes of a mighty and grateful nation. You know what? I have stood with parents whose sons died while serving this country. I have stood at the graveside and I have watched them shed tears, and I have shed tears. My own tears fell upon their grave because I remembered what a tremendous sacrifice they made. Sacrifice for their families. Sacrifices. Giving up their jobs to go off to battle and coming back home and sometimes even being disgraced by the very nation that sent them. Sacrifices. Many of them have given their extremities, their limbs, their legs, their arms, their eyesight, their ability to ever walk again. Many are selfish, however, and all they think about is me. We are so caught up in a me syndrome today in America, it is pathetic. All those people that join with others to occupy other cities, why, it's all about me. When people parade, it's all about me. Jesus taught, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:26. Let me tell you something today you may have never, ever considered. Did you know that living in America is a privilege? It is not a right. It's not. If you live in this country, consider it a privilege because God has blessed you to be able to be born in America or to come here and to live. And again, our freedom did not come without price. And the best way for us to honor our fallen comrades is to give up our own selfish pursuits and our endeavors and think of others. Think about how they lived and how they loved and how they died for a greater cause than themselves. They were unselfish. And many young men and women have gone back for two and sometimes even the third tour of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places around our world. Not because they had to, but because it was a choice that they made for this country. They sacrificed in death. They did. And when we hear on the evening news that someone has died in Afghanistan, sometimes we just blow it off. We never even stop to think about the families that are left behind. We never stop to think about a husband whose wife had gone off to war, or perhaps a wife whose husband was killed in battle, or those young children that will be left to grow up in a dysfunctional home because there is no dad. Or because there is no mom. Memorial Day. God bless the families of those who gave their lives for this great country. May your loved ones rest in peace. We owe a great deal of gratitude. We should be thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus as well, for his birth, for his life, and for his death. For had Jesus not been born, and had he not lived and walked among us, and had he not died and been resurrected, then our hope of eternal freedom would be gone. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John 1 and verse 29. And Jesus said in John 8, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Our physical freedom came from those who served and those who died. But our spiritual freedom comes from Jesus who served and died. And may we never, ever, ever, ever forget. May we never forget. You know, every day I pray, God bless America, land that I love. Bless America. And God bless the church for which Jesus died. Because it did not come without price. I hope today that God will help us to live and serve and in death be found faithful unto Him. Because He invites us to follow Him. When I think about these soldiers in foreign fields who learn the truth and make that commitment, God provides a way, even in a remote desert area, for a man to be buried with his Lord in baptism, just as He makes it available for us today, for us to make that commitment unto God. For Jesus said in John 6, he that would come to me, I will in no wise cast out. And Jesus taught in the book of Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. There are very few enlistees in the service today. We don't have a draft. Our government doesn't force young men to serve. Nor does Jesus force us or draft us into His spiritual army. He depends on enlistees. Many choose not to serve. And many choose not to serve Jesus and enlist in His cause. But I'm telling you today, it is the greatest cause in all of the world. The benefit of having your sin forgiven. The benefit of someday going to heaven. And the benefit of knowing that a Lord who stands by us when times are difficult. A nurse took a tired, anxious serviceman to the bedside of an old Marine. And she said, your son is here. And she had to repeat the word several times before the patient's eyes opened. He was heavily sedated because of the pain of his heart attack. He dimly saw the young uniformed Marine standing outside the room. But he came into the room and he reached out his hand, and the Marine wrapped his toughened fingers around the old man's limp ones, squeezing a message of love and encouragement. The nurse brought a chair so that the Marine could sit beside the bed. And all through the night, the young Marine sat there in a poorly lighted room, holding the old man's hand and offering him words of love and words of comfort. Occasionally, the nurse suggested that the Marine move away and rest a while, but he refused. And whenever the nurse came into the room, the Marine was oblivious of her and of the night noises of the hospital, the clanging of the oxygen tank, the laughter of the night staff members exchanging greetings, and the cries and the moans of other patients. And now and then, she heard him say a few gentle words, but the dying man said nothing, only held tightly to his son all through the night. Along toward dawn, the old man died. The Marine released the now lifeless hand he had been holding all through the night and went to tell the nurse. While she did what she had to do, he waited. And finally, she returned. She started to offer words of sympathy, but the Marine interrupted her. "Could you tell me who that man was?" he said. And the nurse said, "Why, he's your father." He said, "No, he wasn't my father. I had never seen him before in all of my life." And the nurse said, "Then why didn't?" "Why didn't you say something when I took you in?" He said, "I knew right away there had been a mistake. But I also knew that he needed his son. And his son just wasn't there. And when I realized that he was so sick to tell whether or not I was his son, knowing how much he needed me, I stayed." You know, when the Lord Jesus looks at our lives and he sees how spiritually sick we are, he stays. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Always faithful. Semper Fi. Always, always faithful. God is faithful. Faithful to his word. Faithful to the commitment that he makes to us. But the real question is, are we faithful to the commitment that we make to him? This morning, if you're not a Christian, I ask you to make a commitment. It's the most important commitment that you will ever, ever make in your life. It has eternal consequences. Be grateful for those who lived and died, yes. Memorialize them, yes, from now on every day of our life. Memorialize Jesus? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because he paid the price for freedom. I hope this morning, if you haven't enlisted in the service of God, that you'll do that. That you're willing to make a commitment to Him. That you're willing to say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Command, and I will obey." Are you willing to make Jesus the captain of your salvation? Are you willing to turn away from things that are wrong and things that are amiss and things that are worth very little in your life to come to one who offers you much? And are you willing to confess His name before the world to be the Son of God, and not only the Son of God, but that He is now Savior and Lord of your life? And if you're willing to be immersed or baptized this morning for the remission of your sin and to solidify your relationship with God and to acknowledge that commitment that you make to Him, then you'll have the opportunity to do that. In just a moment, we're going to be singing, to stand and sing an invitation hymn. And if you're here and you're a Christian and you know that you have been spiritually AWOL, and you haven't been faithful to Him, and you see a lack of faithfulness is a reflection of our lack of love and a lack of our appreciation for what the Savior did for us, and my question this morning is this one. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If not, will you do so while we stand and while we sing? Have you